It was 5 years ago that I visited Livingston. And then a lot has happened in the country. There was a pandemic, Brexit, so many things have happened. How many of us know we are living in uncertain times? We don't know what tomorrow holds for us, but we do know the one who holds tomorrow.
Yes.
And that's why we have confidence, no matter what season, no matter which government, no matter what people are over us, we have confidence because of the God that we know. Yeah. And in our highs and in our lows, our confidence remains strong because of God.
Yes.
Yeah. So, a little brief about me, because most of you, I think 80% of you do not know me. Well, I'm a pastor in Goa. I run a church called Upbeat Ministries. It's been 28 years that I'm serving the Lord. I met the Lord at the age of 18. I never believed in God. I came from a Roman Catholic background. Never believed in God. Did not ever think God existed. My family background, they're gangsters. My grandmother, she was one of the politicians, very influential in Goa. And I grew up with kind of attitude that you mess with me, I will mess with you. So I would roam with knives in my pocket. At the age of 17, 18, I reached the point of committing suicide, giving up on life. And but someone directed me to a meeting. I sat right at the back, made fun of everything happening there, everything. In fact, I disturbed the preacher. I disturbed the congregation. And the man in front of me must have got so troubled, so upset with me. He looked at me straight into my eyes and he said, "Brother, your life is going to change today." I looked back at him and said, "No ways. I'm a master of my own life. I decide what I do for me." But that day did change my life. After a short break, I came, I sat down. The moment I sat down, the power of God just hit me. There was no preacher. I don't know what was happening in the hall. All I know was tears were rolling down my eyes. And all I could see was a screen before me, which showed me all the sins that I had committed. And all I could say was, "Jesus, I'm sorry, forgive me." That was my journey with God. But the thing that really stirred me up was that did not end there. There was a deep desire within me to know who God is. Because I could turn back to religion. I could turn back to so-called traditions, religiously seek Him. But there was a burning cry within me to know, who is this God that I am serving? Who is this Jesus? I had heard about Him as a Roman Catholic. I knew that He died on the cross. I knew all the religious functions of Christmas and Easter. But who is this Jesus? I wanted to know Him personally. And that deep longing that I believe the Holy Spirit stirred up in me, that deep longing to know Him led me to start spending time in prayer of nearly 12 to 14 hours every day. Intimately, the Lord would begin to minister to me. I did not know of any Christian church. I did not know of any pastor. I just knew I had to spend time in the presence of God. And it was from there that God began to teach me things that led me out of religion and into relationship. So much so that God began to show Himself alive to me. Alive, alive. Just as the one sitting next to you, that's how God began to relate to me. And He began to teach me things of ministry. Just to let you know, a little asterisk. I had an issue with my life that was, I would stutter. I would never be able to speak a sentence clearly. You can see it different, right? Yeah. But it was not so. So I never thought I would ever work for the kingdom of God. I always thought maybe I would support people, or pray for people, work as a pastor, as a preacher, as an evangelist? No ways. But God had different plans. What did He do? He began to stir up things within me. He began to stir up a desire within me to know Him. And He began to teach me. People began to hear that there is this man who prays, who seeks God. And when he prays, something happens. So just to give you an example, one day someone called me. I was new in the ministry. I was just maybe a few months, maybe 8 months, 9 months old. And someone called me up for prayer. And at that point of time, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "You are not prepared for what's going to happen in that house. I want you to wait for some time. You are not ready." So I was like, "God, they only want you to make a short prayer. What's wrong with praying, right? Just go pray for somebody and come back. Nothing wrong in that." So again, the Holy Spirit told me, "Don't go. You are not ready for what's going to happen there. I'm not yet prepared for this." But I stubbornly said, "God, I'm just going to bless them. I'll make a short prayer. I'll come back." I went. I entered the house. The moment I entered their house, I sat down. Again, the Holy Spirit said, "Get up and go back home. You are not ready." I was, "No ways, God. I've come here now. Just a short prayer. I'll go." I stood up along with the family to pray. And the moment I said, "Holy Spirit," imagine living in disobedience and yet calling on God. Funny, right? How we Christians behave at times. Yeah. But the moment I said, "Holy Spirit," something happened there. A woman next to me started shaking. Okay, the woman next to her was pregnant, maybe 8 months or so. Okay. Though she was shaking, I continued, "Holy Spirit, I welcome you in this place." The woman fell down on the floor. Fell down on the floor was fine. Then she started rolling and screaming. And then she started hissing, like a serpent. I had never seen that in my life. It was something new to me. The woman was pregnant. She started shaking. And I got scared now because I did not know what has to be done. I was not trained for this. So the next reaction of mine was, there was a chair behind me. I jumped on the chair because she was coming and hissing and touching my feet. So I jumped onto the chair and I'm like, "God, please tell me what to do. Please stop this." And the Holy Spirit said, "I will stop it, but next time you need to obey me." So the Lord stopped it. I rushed back home. And that whole night, I could hear demon voices speaking to me saying, "You don't enter my territory. You don't mess with me." But then I was so scared, it was new to me. So I turned back to the Lord, "God, please help me. Please show me what I need to do. Please guide me." And then from there, the Holy Spirit began to teach me the gift of deliverance, how to pray over people, how then our presence itself brings about freedom for people, how our presence itself, the very fact we stand in a place, how the atmosphere can change and break chains over people. After that, we've cast out many demons. Sometimes demons, when they would know that we are coming to their house, they would lock the door so that we don't enter in. That's no problem. We would just go lay our hands on the door and say, "Holy Spirit, we can't get in, but you can. Please do your job," and we would go back home. The moment we would reach back home, we would get a call, the person set free. Come on, that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. So that from that position of intimacy with God, God began to teach me how we need to move in His presence, in His power. And that's why I want to encourage the church. We need to walk intimately with the Holy Spirit. Intimately. That's when we will begin to see change in our atmosphere. That's where we will begin to see change in our workplace. That's where we will begin to see change in church. We will begin to see change in our neighborhood, in our families. Is when we begin to learn from the Holy Spirit and walk in obedience to Him. He will train us. The best teacher in our life is the Holy Spirit. You can go to the best of schools. It's not bad. You need to go to school. You need to go to Bible college. But above it all, you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and let Him use and yield the vessel is an amazing vessel in the hands of God. And even, you know, what comes to my mind is a potter working on clay. Do you see what the potter does to the clay? You know, sadly, in this generation, we do not know much about a potter working on a clay. But when he takes clay, he takes clay from the muck, right? He takes clay from a wasted place. That's what our life was. God took us from a wasted place. But when we fell into the hands of God, God, only an yielded clay, yielded, coming into his hands is good, but yielding to him is better. So when the clay is taken into his hands, and then he has the freedom to squeeze it. We don't like God squeezing us. Our tests, our trials, we don't like it, right? How many of you love to be tested and tried? No way, that's not for us. Yeah. But God does take us through tests and trials. And if anyone comes to you and says, after you meet Jesus, life will be a smooth journey. How lies, right? Great lies. Because life has never been smooth after meeting Jesus. In fact, he takes us through different adventures. He takes us through highs and through lows. He takes us through valleys, through mountaintops. He takes us through the depths of the waters. Things are not smooth with God. Well, that's what God does. He takes the clay, he squeezes it, brings the best out of it. He bends the clay. That's what the potter does. He bends the clay. He bends it so that he can work upon it. When you are banned by God, when you are tested by God, when you are tried by God, it's not going to be easy, but he's going to use you. Remember, if you are being tested and tried, it's because there's a great purpose over your life. If you are being tested and tried by God, you are being used. God is preparing you for an amazing work to come. That's why don't resist when God is testing you. Don't resist when you're going through your valley. You know, on the contrary, just flow in the presence of God. Let God lead you. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. So when you are connected to God, no matter what valley moment you are going through, the end result is also going to be a feasting table. The table is going to be set for you. There's always a purpose. When the potter is working on the clay, he's got a picture of what he wants the clay to become. He's already got a picture of what he has planned for that clay. The same way, when God is working upon you, he's already got a picture of what he has for your life. And all you need to do is yield to the Lord. Yield. So just as the clay, the moment the potter has his working on the clay, if he finds dust particles or stones, he will pinch that clay. You pinch that area to take off that stone. And sometimes we've got areas that God has to pinch out. Anger, hatred, pride, resentment, bitterness. You know, we may not be committing those great sins, but the small areas where stubbornness, attitude, you know, comparing ourselves with others and feeling that we are better off than them. God will work on your life. He will pinch those areas out so that he gets the best of you out. Yeah? So when God's taking stuff or exposing you for who you are, let's not hide it or let's not shy away. Let him work just as an yielded vessel. So has the potter is working on the clay, he takes off the stone particles or everything that's not needed, and then he does another thing. He spins it around the wheel. How many of you feel sometimes your life is just spinning round and round and you're not going anywhere? Sometimes your life is stuck, right? Stuck in one place. It seems like someone's pressed a pause button and you're just waiting when it's going to go next. When's the next season coming? When's the next phase of your life coming? When's the next move going to happen? It's like a pause button. Just as that wheel is going round and round and the clay thinks nothing's happening. Come on. Hand of the Lord is working on that clay. The clay can't see any destination, but the hand is working. The same way the Lord is working upon your life. You can't see it. You feel you're in pause, but in the spiritual realm, God's working on you.
Amen.
He's working on you. Amen. He's working on you. And that's why, just keep yielding. Yield. That's all you need to do. Yield. It's not complicated. The problem is that self that comes up, I, myself, that's what stops God from working. If we would just say, God, it's all about you. That I decrease and you increase. That's all that matters. So as the potter is working on that clay, yeah, he's shaping it. The clay can't see it for that moment. The clay can just see itself spinning. Then he does another thing. He takes off from there He takes the clay off from that spinning wheel. And now, he puts it in the fire. Things seem to be getting worse. Instead of getting better, things seem to be getting worse. Can I speak to somebody who feels, instead of getting better, it's getting worse. I come to pray, I give my tithes, I do my fasting, I'm reading the word, but things are getting worse. When's it going to get better? And sometimes we come to a pastor, or we go to an elder and say, I'm praying, I'm fasting, when will things change? It seems to be getting worse. And sometimes we pastors or preachers or leaders don't have the answer. Why? Because we are humans. We don't know what God is working on your life, but God is working. So he takes the clay and puts it into the fire. Now it's hot. It's very hot. It seems that the fire is going to destroy the clay. But it's not going to destroy, right? Instead of destroying the clay, the fire is actually preparing the clay for the end result. So when the clay is done with and the shape has been, fashioned, it's pulled out of the fire. Now the potter begins to, design it. Now the clay is feeling good. Yeah, it's getting the designs, it's getting the color, and now it's getting the placement. You see the result of yielding to the Lord? The amazing things that follow only when you yield to God.
Yes.
Not yield to man, not yield to self, not I want to do it, it's my way or the highway, I don't want any other way. No, it is about not my way, not the highway, but it has to be God's way. Because when it's God's way, you will begin to see, no matter where you are right now, you may feel you are in the muck. But when it is God's way, he will definitely lead you to the process to place you on higher ground.
Amen.
When you look into the psalmist in Psalm 23, his journey begins well. Actually, I have not prepared this message. It's just a flow. I believe this is a prophetic word for somebody in this place. And I believe each word is just flowing for God. It's like a buffet right now. Each word is coming to you. You. It's a buffet. Yeah. Because if you ask Jacob, I gave them one scripture, and then I said no, then I gave him another scripture, and now it's something else. So when you open to Psalm 23, could you please put that? It says there, if it's possible, yeah? It says there, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything seems to be perfect. God is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then it says, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Everything seems perfect, right?
Amen.
When you meet Jesus, everything seems perfect.
Amen.
In fact, in your first few years with Jesus, it's like honeymoon. Everything is so good. He provides you. You think of a biscuit and the biscuit comes. You think of going for a meal out. You don't have the money, but somehow somebody knocks at your door and says, I just feel like taking you out for dinner today. And you just say, ooh, God did it. And that's that honeymoon phase that we all go through. That beginning walk with God and everything seems so excited. And we are so excited, we're sharing testimonies. But then the honeymoon phase goes through the next phase. And God begins to now chisel, work upon you. He works upon you because he's got a better place for you. He could pamper you all your life, but you will not reach to that destination that he has for you. Just as how we bring up our children. When they grow up as babies, we cuddle them, so sweet, and we play with them, we walk with them. There's things that we do with them, but then they gradually, as they're growing up, they begin to wean them off, right? They need to learn now. Learn it on your own. Once my daughter, who was playing table tennis in India, the coaches are different there. The coach would keep calling her donkey. Yeah, because she was not playing well, she was not playing well, much learning it. So she came and complained it to me. So I said, yeah, he's calling you that. Go and tell him, I have a name, you have no right to call me donkey. I have a name, call me by my name. So I told her, you need to fight your own battles. So she began, so the next time the coach called her a donkey, she put the racket down, looked at him and said, excuse me sir, my name is not donkey, my name is Leoma. and you have no right to call me that, except Leona. So she was right. There was a time we had to let go for her to learn. The same way, in our walk with God, you see the psalmist here is saying, He restores my soul, He heals me, He leads me, and then he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That means what God is saying is, I'm going to take you through valley moments. I'm going to take you through those testing moments. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Because it says that, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, come. That means that place, that position that we are in, seems like it's going to finish us. It looks like we are going to be finished. It's going to suffocate us. It's going to kill us. It's going to destroy us. That's what he's saying there. The place I am in, the place that I'm passing through seems to be killing me. But then what's he saying next? Yes, I will not be afraid because you are with me. You see the confidence that he has? Confidence that he has. So your honeymoon phase with God is actually God telling you, this is who I am, and you need to learn to trust me when I take you through your phases. So I want to ask each one of us here, maybe you're going through a different phase in your life, maybe you're going through a valley phase. But the question that you need to ask yourself is, do I have that absolute confidence in God, even in that valley moment? Even in that difficult moment, do I have that boldness that says, though I'm facing death right now, though I'm facing lack right now, though I'm facing a jobless situation right now, though I'm facing a marriage crisis right now, I know that I don't need to be afraid because God is with me. That confidence. You see, David could have confidence in God when he faced Goliath. I wonder what would we have done if we faced Goliath. He was a 10-foot man. He was huge. Huge man. David, I don't know how tall he was. Maybe 5'8", 5'7", 5'6". We don't know, 5'9". But that guy was 10 foot, and his hand must have been bigger than the size of David's face. So when David faced Goliath, the rest of the army of Israel was shaking in fear. They were living in fear. Every day they would go look at Goliath and run back in fear. But what moved David to go and face Goliath? You think it was David's strength? It was David's confidence in God. Goliath couldn't shake David. I want to ask you today, the situations that you go through in life, no matter whether it's the economic crisis, whether it's a job crisis, whatever your circumstance you're facing in life, do you have that confidence in God that says, no matter what I face, I know that my God will take me through it. Though I may walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. God with me makes the difference.
Yes.
He with me.
Yes. Yes.
So when I'm facing these moments of life, what is the boldness I stand in? You know, we all go through seasons. None of us can deny it. Maybe you're going through a good season right now. Maybe things are going perfect. But a few months back or years back, you had your season of the valleys. And sometimes you're going through a good season now, but then God is preparing you for your next level, right? When you're going through your next level, there's going to come a next devil. There's going to come the next issues. There's going to come the next problem. There's going to come a next obstacle. And every obstacle is an opportunity for you to rise higher.
Yeah.
Every obstacle. When you look at the chair, you know, when you see a chair right now. Yes. Is there a chair? No. Now, I want to walk straight. Now, this is my problem here. Now, I can move, escape the problem. Or I can say, I'm going to crush it.
Amen.
What happens in the process is, my view is bigger now.
Yes.
I've lifted higher now. I'm in my next position of life. Come on, I want to encourage each one of us. Don't be disheartened when things are not working right. Don't be disheartened when you're going through your valley moments, because God is preparing you for your next position in life. He's preparing you. So when we look into David, he says, though I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not be afraid, for you are with me. And you know, that's what I have witnessed in my 28 years walking with God. God with us makes the difference. It's not what you can do, but it's about what God can do through you. What God can do through you. You know, at present in Goa, we have our own church building now. We have our own church hall. But in the year 2018 was when Melvin and Marita visited us, because we were in the process of buying our place. When we were stirred up to buy that place, okay, an unbeliever came to me and asked me, what do you feel about buying a place, a property in the heart of the city of Panjim? That's our capital city of our state. So then it's an excellent place, it's a good property, you will definitely get appreciation, business will be good. And he went. The next thing God did is, he stirred me up and said, you are telling him to do it, I want you to do it. I said, God, you know how much I have in my bank account? I had only 3,850 rupees, that comes to around 38 pounds. I had only 38 pounds in my bank account. And God is saying, buy a place that's worth, I don't know how you would calculate, 100,000 rupees. Okay, so you could help me out. Around 1 crore. Yeah.
100K.
Okay, 100K pounds. Okay, 100,000 pounds the property cost. How is it possible? Humanly speaking, impossible. Impossible. But God said, you step out in faith and I will do the rest. Today we have a property of our own. Yeah. We have a worship. Okay. We have to ask nobody permission to have prayer. As and when we want, we can have our prayer services. If we want to have 30 days prayer, 40 days prayer, we don't have to pay rent. It's our place. And that to God has cleared us from all debt.
Amen.
Zero debt. Come on. That's what happens when you walk with God. Walking with God, you can achieve and do the impossible. Impossible. So don't restrict God from working. Just keep walking with Him. You keep walking, keep obeying, and you will begin to see Him do the impossible in your life. Then when you look into the next, He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That speaks about the word of God and the discipline of God. But the next verse, He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now when you look at the word table, God preparing a table for you, a table speaks about celebration. Mm-hmm. Prior to that it was valley. Yeah. Prior to that it was, oh my, I'm about to die. Yeah. Prior to that it looks like I've reached the end of the road. Prior to that it was like, the tomb is going to close. That's what happened to Lazarus, right? When you look into Lazarus' story, Martha and Mary had put Lazarus in the tomb and it was shut.
Yeah.
It looked like it's over. But do you know, in John chapter 11, they shut the tomb. In John chapter 12, from verse 1 onwards, you will see Lazarus sitting along with Jesus and they're having a meal together. They are in celebration mode. The tomb shut. The tomb looked shut in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, God knew what He was doing. The tomb was not the end of Lazarus. It was the beginning for the next phase of Lazarus' life, to sit at the table of God. Table. Celebration. I want to speak over somebody here and tell you, maybe you're going through your valley, but your table has been set for you. The table has been set for you. No matter what the enemy is planning, maybe people around you are plotting on how they can take your promotion, on how they can take your pay hike, they take it, on how they can take credit for the work that you are doing. Maybe people around you are thinking how they will take you off this country, maybe. Whatever their plans are, I want to tell you, you are going through your valley, but God is preparing your table. He's setting that table. And it says there, in the presence of my enemies, that means those who are plotting against you, they are going to be dumbstruck.
Yeah.
They're going to be looking at you and saying, I planned it. You see what's happening? Tables have turned. What was mine is gone to them. Come on. I want to speak to somebody and tell you, your table is being prepared. But the table is not only about celebration. The table also speaks about fellowship. How many of us know when we sit at the table for a meal, we also fellowship at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talk to one another. So what God is saying is, you're going through a valley, but you are walking with me even in the valley. Even in your difficult times, you're still sticking on to me. Come on, that's good, right? Because when difficult time comes, many people forsake God. Many people grow lukewarm. Many people begin to curse God. Many people begin to question God. But here he says, in your difficult time, you are walking with me. You are faithful to me. Come on. I'm going to prepare a table and fellowship with you. And in fellowship with God, that means God is speaking over your life. And God is speaking secrets to you. And God is speaking his word over you. Come on. Your life can never be the same because secrets, because plans, because the future begins to be revealed when you sit at the table of fellowship. Yeah. Now, how many of you have got business ideas or ministry ideas and you've been sitting on a table with people around? And that's exactly what God is saying. I'm preparing a table for you so that I can fellowship with you, so that I can speak over your life. So I want to encourage you. The valley moment is just preparing you for the greatest season ahead. It's not over. It's not over. God has a great plan for you. Keep pressing on. Keep walking with him. Keep walking. You see Jairus' story? Jairus, when he was walking with Jesus, Jesus gave him so many pit stops. As Jesus was walking first, Jesus was slowed down by the crowd. And there was a crowd thronging around Jesus. So Jairus was in a hurry. Why? His daughter was about to die, it says. Was about to die. So Jairus is in a hurry. Let's go, let's go. But Jesus slowed down with the crowd. Secondly, Jesus now had a pit stop. Why? Because this bleeding woman has touched him. And Jesus is like, who touched me? And Jairus is like, come on, Jesus, I'm in a hurry. Come on. Sometimes we want God to work fast forward, right? Yeah. Fast forward. Quick, God. Do it now. Do it now. And Jairus is like, do it now, Jesus. And Jesus is like, wait, Jairus. Somebody has touched me. Somebody has touched me. And Jairus, so many have touched you and nothing. Somebody has touched me. From there, Jairus now hears the word that his daughter is dead. Again, now Jairus has an opportunity to leave Jesus, right? Come on, it's over now. It's over. Her daughter is dead. What more can Jesus do now? So Jairus could have just left Jesus there. He could have gone and continued doing his job, gone and prepared for the burial of his daughter. But what did Jairus do? He continued walking with Jesus. He continued walking. Even though he had a reason to leave Jesus, he had a reason to give up. He had a reason to give up that faith, but he kept walking with Jesus. And as he kept walking with Jesus, what happened next? He sees Jesus enters Jairus' house. He raises his daughter from the dead. And then he says, give her something to eat. That means a table is set for her as well. This is a word, I believe this is a word from heaven for somebody in this place that God is saying, you are going through your season of the valley, but I'm preparing the table for you. I am preparing you for a greater purpose. There is a greater purpose ahead. All you need to do is keep walking with God. Keep pressing on because he has a great plan over your life. You may feel that it's finished. You may feel, how is it possible? You may feel you are not worthy of it. Maybe you may feel, what big thing can come out of me? But I want to tell you, God does amazing things. He surprises us. Mm-hmm. He surprises us. When I look into my life, I would have never thought I would be in this country speaking, preaching the word. I would have never thought I would even have a church because, to be very honest, I had so many weaknesses. But God knows how to use his people. He knows how to use your weakness and glorify his name. Because through our weakness, his strength is made perfect. At the end, it always turns back to Jesus. Because he receives all the glory. And that's exactly what's going to happen in your life. As you begin to keep walking with him, God is going to be glorified through your life. And when you look into the end of the Psalms, he says there, verse 6, let's go. Okay, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Then he says, thou anointest my head with oil. And then my cup runs over. It's a process. We all want the cups to run over. Eh? Yes. How many of us desire our banks to run over? But it's a process. It's a process. We cannot ignore the process. We cannot ignore the valley. We cannot ignore the valley. We cannot ignore those testing times. It's a process. So he says that my cup runs over, and I believe that God will never disappoint his people. He will never put you to shame. He may take you to the end of the road, but suddenly he will make a new way for you. He will never disappoint his people. When you look further in the next verse, it says that. To the next verse. Six. Yeah, he says this surely. Now he's saying the confidence. Come on, confidently. Surely, I know it. It's in my gut. I know it. Yeah. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Not I follow it. I don't follow goodness.
No.
I don't follow mercy. It follows
follow me.
Follow me. I don't follow it. It follows me. So I will run after good things, it follows me.
Yeah.
I will run after the best job follows
me.
I will run after that best man or best woman that I'm dreaming of marrying, or if you're married. Okay, maybe your child grows up to be the best woman or best woman, a man. Well, I don't run after it, I don't chase it to happen. I just run after God and it follows after me. Come on, we need to be people who understand that God says, you chase me, it will all chase after you. Matthew 6:33 says, Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. So I want to encourage you. Come on. Let's be people who chase after him, because we know with confidence that God will definitely make everything that is perfect and good for you chase after you. Everything that is good and perfect for you, everything that will add into your life, he will make it chase after you. The problem with the church is many a times, like when you come to churches, please pray that I get my job. Please pray that I get my promotion. Please pray that my visa is sanctioned. Please pray. Come on, I want to tell you, let us be people that say, please pray that my hunger for God grows more.
Amen.
Please pray that I seek God even more.
Yeah.
Please pray that I would be able to dig deeper into the Word.
Yeah.
Please pray that I understand the Word. Every time I read, the Word becomes so alive to me. Because as you begin to seek the things of God, God begins to pour out the things of the world for you.
Amen.
He begins to pour it out upon you. We are called to live under open heavens. And we can only live under open heavens is when we are connected to God. Connected to God. And that's why he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Not some days, all the days of my life. So even when I'm going through my valley, I will see good days.
Amen.
Even when I'm in the desert, man, I will see good days. Wherever I'm blessed, sometimes you say, I wish I was in that country, I wish I was in that state, I wish I was in this city. But I want to tell you, wherever you are placed, you will begin to see the goodness and mercy of God following you. Look at Isaac. He was in that land which was going through famine. But when everyone experienced famine, he experienced abundance. In fact, he grew rich, exceedingly rich, it says, in famine times. So wherever you are placed, God's favor over your life is what matters. That's why keep walking with God. It says, so goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he says, this is very important, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So my question to us is that the passion of our heart? To just dwell in his presence.
Amen.
To be where he is. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. That's all that you need. That's all. When you come to this place to worship, it's God, I want to touch you.
Yes, Lord.
I just want to be soaked in you today.
Yes.
I just want to hug you today. I just want to be overwhelmed. That's all that we need to have. So when you come to church, you need to come excited to church, because I'm going to meet my Maker.
Because
I'm going to meet the one who loves me. You know, when you're in love with somebody, you get excited, right? The goosebumps and the feelings. And then you realize after 2-3 years or 4 years, once you get mad at it, it's no more that same feeling that used to be there. But with God, His love is constant. And that's why let us be people that pursue God. Let's be people that pursue God. So I just want to encourage us. I mean, have a short maybe worship if time is permitted.